Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. If you're somewhere right now, driving maybe, and you can pull over, we're going to pray. It's important to do that right now in our time. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for preserving areas of this country in freedom and liberty. We thank you, Lord, that you are exposing the works of darkness, exposing those who are under the influence of darkness. And Lord, we thank you that you have put us in this time so that you can shine your light through us. And Lord, we want to be available to that. We want to be responsive to it. And God, we thank you, too, that you love us and you have loved us since the beginning of the world and before the foundations of the world. And that you've called us to be sons and daughters in your kingdom, co-laborers and co-heirs with you. And Lord, right now we ask for your boldness and your grace and your mercy and your strength and your courage. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. We've all probably read 2 Chronicles 7:14 at one time or another about humbling ourselves, praying, seeking his face, turning from his wicked ways, and that he would renew or heal our land. I want to go through each one of these first before I get to your daily intelligence briefing, because I think this is important. First key to renewal is humility. And it's interesting that each aspect of our soul needs to be humble. And there's four aspects: our identity, our reason, our emotions, and our will. Each aspect needs to be humbled. So, for example, accepting our place in his kingdom and that he is on the throne, that's humbling our identity. So we know our right place. I don't know about you, but for me, going into the mountains and sitting on a mountaintop and looking out at his magnificent creation, I get kind of a right perspective, accepting my place in his kingdom and that he is on the throne. Second, we need to humble our reason. We need to admit that we know what we don't know, okay? In other words, we're humble enough to accept that we know what we don't know. And this becomes more pronounced if you're younger. This becomes more pronounced as you get older, that we know what we don't know. The third, we need to be unafraid of our emotions. It's humbling ourselves and allowing emotion to actually be a part of our lives. Now, this is predominantly directed at men. But if God breaks you and you're weeping before the Lord, that's okay. And I'm not talking about whining because of stuff going on or, you know, crying at the drop of a hat or something like that. I'm talking about real conviction, real emotion. That's okay. And we need to be humble enough that that can happen. Number four, we need to align our will with his. It's no longer our dreams. It's no longer, because he knows our dreams better than we do. It's no longer our set of goals and objectives. It's his will, his goals and objectives, his dreams. Because he knows better for us what we need and what we desire than we do. The second key of this renewal is praying and seeking his face. Now, Jesus came John 18:37, if you want to go look this up. Jesus came to testify to the truth. That's what he said before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate asked the famous question. He asked the exact right question of the exact right authority, but doesn't want the answer. And how many times does that happen in our lives? Pontius Pilate says to Jesus, what is truth? He asked the authority of the universe the right question, but was not wanting to know the answer. We need to seek his face. That means we want to know the answer. We want to be in relationship with him. We want to know the author of the book, not just the book itself. That's seeking his face. The third key is turning from wickedness. Now, there's part of this that a lot of people don't talk about. That means we need to have discernment, which is identifying evil, and then according to Luke 10:19, where we've been given authority to tread upon all the power of the enemy, that we actually tread upon that evil, and we actually pray that. We just come against and tread upon that evil in our time. But we have to have discernment. I want to give you an example of a couple of lacks of discernment. People bringing items into their house, for example, that don't glorify and honor and praise God. Could be pornography. Could be some sort of a satanic image. Could be, I mean, there's all kinds of different things. Make sure you've got a clean camp. That's part of discernment. Number two, I receive so many emails and messages where somebody says something along these lines. I was watching, you know, Channel 4 News tonight, and they said this. Is that true? To which I immediately respond, stop watching Channel 4 News. Of course it's not true. Of course they're shading the truth. Of course they have an agenda. Stop watching those things that are intentionally deceiving you. Go to the places that aren't deceiving you. Some people said, well, you know, Channel 4 News tells you about the traffic and what freeway exits are closed. Look, I would rather drive 5 minutes around, be late by 5 minutes, than listen to that tripe coming across the radio waves and across our television sets that is reminiscent of the former Soviet Pravda, which actually meant truth, but it was ironic because it really was never true. So don't put yourself in a position, put yourself in a situation where you're going to be deceived. Shut that stuff off. Go to where the primary source documents are. Read it for yourself. I mean, do you know how many cities out there right now that the mainstream media is refusing to show images of the downtowns of these cities because the shops are boarded up and it looks like a war zone, that to include the capital of Washington State, Olympia, where the downtown was trashed. We had reports coming out of there. Nobody was reporting on it in the mainstream media. The reports coming out of there were very alarming. But that's not just Olympia. It is major cities all across the United States of America. Stop allowing yourself to be deceived. Fourth key. We need to put off that old man and renew every aspect of our humanity through his words, his promises, and prayer. All right. What does that mean? I believe we need to, as a church, and I'm talking about the body of Christ right now, we need to get back to prayer and actual fasting. Oh, you don't understand, Matt. Too busy. Yeah, well, you shouldn't be too busy for listening to the Lord. And sometimes prayer is not just you talking or me talking. It's me or you listening. Actually waiting to hear what he has to say. The other part of that too is standing on his promises. God doesn't lie. If he put a promise in Scripture, we should be standing on those things and doing so boldly. And the problem is today with Christianity in America is that there's always an excuse not to do exactly what he said in his scriptures. For example, forsake not fellowship. Always an excuse. But his promise is if we are doing his will, he is there among us. This idea that we should obey government at all costs, it was shattered in the New Testament and in the Old Testament too. But it was shattered in the New Testament by virtually every apostle. John the Baptist started it by going to the governor of the area and calling him out for his sin and then getting his head chopped off. Well, say you got his head chopped off. Why do you want to go against government? Because he was testifying and doing what the Lord told him to do. Look what happened to Jesus. He testified to the truth, and he was crucified. But that truth, and this is key, was not just spoken to the religious leaders of the day. It was spoken to the governmental leaders of Rome of the day. In addition, there are numerous examples of where Christians obeyed God over man. And look, the silliness that is out there right now in regards to the mandatory mask stuff and the governor shutting things down, if they really have the truth on their side, why do they have to censor people? Why do they have to censor the John Birch Society for its sign, Freedom is the Cure? I mean, think about that for a second. They have to censor the sign. And Lamar, the sign company, wouldn't even say how many people actually called in. It was probably only a few, but it was probably a few important people according to Lamar's perspective. So, but why were those people trying to censor? Freedom is freedom. The Constitution is not abrogated. It's not bound. It's not eviscerated in an emergency. It's still in existence in an emergency. And all you out there that just said hallelujah, amen. Congress shall make no law. Which, by the way, they were the only ones that had the power to do that. Okay, not judges, not executives. The other part of this, too, I think that's important for all of us in this time is to understand that if they slowly make it like, okay, it's going to be masks, and now they're talking about goggles, and then it's going to be a vaccine, and then it's going to be a vaccine card to prove you had the vaccine, and they start going down this road, where do you stop? Where do you stop? And that's the question each Christian should be asking right now. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn actually answered this question in his book, The Gulag Archipelago. And I think it might be time for that article to be published, because his admonishment to Christians was that you need to figure out when they start doing this stuff to your neighbor that you got to stand up with your neighbor. All right, now your daily intelligence briefing from the international front. Palestinian arson balloons ignite over 60 fires in Israel. So they're still doing terrorist attacks against the Israelis. And this coming to us from Debka File. Also from that area of the world, Lebanon. After this blast in Lebanon, politicians are bolting from Lebanon's cabinet and parliament. And what it really looks like is Lebanon is descending into chaos and a failed state. What it really looks like is going on right now. Very interesting. It just seems like the Middle East just stands on a thread right now. Like a razor's edge. All right, on the national front, a couple interesting things have happened over the last few days. I want to comment on them. First, today, the big news. Biden picks Kamala Harris to be his running mate. Very unsurprising. Okay. But what their real angle is here is not for Biden to be president. Their real angle is for Harris to be president. That's who they had chosen at the very beginning. And in fact, I told a few people this over a year ago, that their real choice was Kamala Harris. So now we see her kind of creep back in, even though she could win on her own merits. She kind of creeps back in now as the VP choice. So if, you know, Joe Biden, good gracious, think about what they're doing, expecting to happen to you. You know, I mean, are they going to, at the last minute, say Biden's too incompetent to run or what? I don't know. But either way, Trump's going to win. So nice try. I want to talk too about President Trump. He made a very interesting comment. Now, he's at the Whirlpool factory when he makes this comment, as I understand it. But he says that, quote, we might not see him for a while, that there are some very powerful, wealthy people that are very upset with him, but he's the president that is going to do this because no other president would do this. And he doesn't say what, though. And you got to watch this video clip of Trump saying this. So what's going on? And then we had this weird thing where a guy is shot outside the White House yesterday. What is going on? Well, I believe right now that there are some things being developed by the Trump administration to hold accountable the people behind this Marxist attempted coup in the United States of America, this Marxist revolution in the United States of America. I think that that is what's going on. And I think that we're seeing some of these riots happening early being before Labor Day weekend. And by the way, they've already called for a siege on the White House on September 17th. Now, it's interesting that they're choosing that month, very important month in the Jewish calendar, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement or Yom Kippur, and then also the Feast of Tabernacles and Shemini Atzeret, or the Day of Eternity, which is at the end of that. So, what's happening? Why? I think it's the accountability. I think that's what's going on. And I think that from what I've heard too, that Operation Nemesis, which was published by Major General Paul Valley, we talked about it a few shows ago. They're implementing this to neuter China. And so China is trying to weigh in with this unrest and chaos as well. Moving to the regional front, Seattle Police Chief is retiring after the council votes to slash the police budget over there. Now, it's interesting because in high crime neighborhoods, they actually want more police, not less. It's also interesting that we're now at this point where the Marxists are following their plan. So the first is you release the prisoners from jail, and the second is you start defunding the police so that chaos continues to ensue. They follow this same thing in almost every country. They try to take over. The difference in this country is patriots. And I want to, it does take patriots. I want to jump back to the national front for a second. So Operation Crossfire Hurricane under the Obama administration suddenly gets serious. This coming to us from World Net Daily. The senators want all records on this Obamagate. And again, I think this plays into what's going on. So President Trump is seeing what they're trying to do, trying to destabilize this country. Now, this cancel culture is all part of this Marxist narrative to try to cancel history, because if you have a history, the good parts and the bad parts, if you have a history, it's hard to unhinge and take over a country if they're rooted in that history. And so what they're doing is they're erasing history, the good parts and the bad parts, for the purpose of weakening the country to try to take it over. And Trump understands this. He gets this. So it's our job to recognize what the Marxists are doing, stand up for history. Yes, that means Confederate monuments too. But what we really should be canceling is Marxism. Marxism should be canceled in our country. Statues of Lenin that have been up, it's very interesting. They have one in downtown Seattle. That one has stayed up while all these other ones are falling down, right? Marxism should be canceled and thrown into the dustbin of history. Now, I'm not advocating for curtailing free speech, as some people, not advocating that at all. What I am saying is that Marxism should be thrown into the dustbin of history. And the Marxists that are here in America that have been attempting to overthrow this country should be prosecuted for treason, because that is what Marxism is. If you are trying to overthrow the Constitution of the United States of America, the main agreement that we're all supposed to agree on, doesn't matter our parties, we're all supposed to agree on it. If you're trying to overthrow that, that is by definition treason, and that is exactly what Marxism is doing. The other part of it, too, is Marxism always descends into some form of genocide, because history not only resides in monuments and books, it also resides in the hearts of people. And ultimately, Christianity resides in the hearts of people, and Christians and Jews end up being persecuted by the Marxists, because the Marxists can't have a competing system existing in the hearts of men and women that could come forth later and maybe another generation to challenge them. They got to try to stamp it out. And that's the purpose behind what they do with genocide. This goes all the way back. Karl Marx wrote that he was for the abolition of all truth and morality. And Lenin carried this out and very clearly said that their objective was to stamp out these vestiges of liberty and Christianity and religion. And so what did they do? They began to round up Christians. They began to kill Christians. They began to send them to the prison camps. And this lasted for decades. Because socialists and Marxists are the true bigots. They cannot deal with competition. They can't deal with an opposing point of view. They can't deal with an opposing religion, because Marxism is a religion. They can, and if you don't believe me, Bella Dodd actually testified before the House Committee on Un-American Affairs back in like 1953 or something like that on that exact issue. Go read her transcripts. They cannot deal with a history that shows that Marxism always fails, that socialism always fails. They can't deal with it. And so they got to try to erase it. They got to try to cancel it. They got to try to stamp it out. And that is not what we're about in America. What we're about is free expression of ideas, free expression of religion beyond the four walls of the church. And this ridiculous notion of church and state that has gotten totally turned on its head. It was government not supposed to be interfering in the affairs of the church. That is what Thomas Jefferson was talking about. Go read the letter from the Danbury Baptists to Thomas Jefferson and his response back to the Danbury Baptists. That you cannot argue otherwise. It is in the plain language of the letter. Thomas Jefferson said that the government should never be involved in the affairs of the church. So this ridiculous nonsense from people who are parroting books of even more ignorant people, they lose in the free market of ideas because the primary sources prove them wrong. And that's what we believe in America. We can go to the primary sources. We can have an intellectual debate. But today, they won't even allow a debate. 70% of Americans are afraid to give their opinion on things because they're afraid of losing their job. They're afraid of losing their position and status. They're afraid of losing a position in a school for their kids. That is tyranny by definition. Do you want to live under that system? I don't want to live under a system like that. That's why we've got to stand up now. And our president is giving us cues that he's going to start holding these people accountable that are trying to destroy this country. And the sympathizers of the Chinese communists, I mean, my goodness, we have Marxist sympathizers here locally who are literally plotting to get rid of Christian conservative candidates. You're following the narrative of evil if you're doing that. You're picking a side, and it's not the right one. And so what the Marxists have to do to try to survive when you start calling them out about this stuff is then they project onto us how they really are themselves. Because ultimately, Marxism is the most racist, bigoted, narrow-minded, tyrannical control system that has ever been thought up by human mind. Judeo-Christian constitutional republicanism is the most freeing, makes the most prosperity, helps the most people. So don't listen to the lies with this stuff. Understand, it's our time now to speak up. That means all of us. Everybody listening to this radio show, doesn't matter in your business or whatever, we need to start speaking up right now. And you can figure out who's doing what by just a simple thing. Do you actually watch the evening news? Because if you're listening to the evening news, you are being lied to. Stop doing that. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And thank you for all the wonderful folks that have been showing up at church and just been fantastic. God is good all the time. And it's a little difficult right now, but he's good all the time. And difficulty always comes before great victory. Always does. If you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And remember that we are on iTunes, Podbean, and on Spotify. Well, it is my great honor and privilege to introduce our guest today, Glenn Morgan of We the Governed, a man who has exposed fraud across the state like nobody else, and I think has really defended liberty in a way that few have. Glenn Morgan, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
He's not answering.
All right. Well, we will go down a couple of his articles then, because I want to get this out right now. What's going to happen if we continue to elect Democrats? And let me be even more pointed. What happens if we continue to elect these closet socialists? I mean, look, they're trying to hide that they're socialists. They're trying to sound reasonable. But they're socialists at the core. Again, this isn't some, it's not some accident or something like they just didn't know what was going on. This is an intentional plan that they're following. It's an intentional plan. And if they continue, you're going to see. Could you imagine, okay, before I get to this article, could you imagine if a conservative candidate did this. Okay, so postal workers are interfering with vote-by-mail elections, We the Governor's website. And he goes into this case, and he has pictures of it, where Alicia Rule's campaign mailer is wrapped physically around the ballot, like the outside of the letter. And they're basically admitting, oh, yeah, I got one, too. It's great. I got one, too. Wait a minute. This happened in Whatcom County. This is mail tampering, okay? You can't do that. It's illegal. And yet, that's exactly what happened. These are more the subtle things that are happening right now. Subtle forms of persecution, subtle forms of abusing the system. Post office workers delaying postmarks. That was the other thing that was discovered. Delaying postmarks till after the election, because these are for ballots that are turned in just prior to the election. And then some people now trying to make excuses that there is really something else wrong with the mail system, and we're going to blame that on Donald Trump. They're trying to distract us from the fact that this kind of stuff was happening, mail tampering, with an objective to alter election results. And I'm not even getting into electioneering, but I will here in a second. Then you had this recent article of a former Olympia City manager, Steve Hall, fined $10,000 for an illegal mailer. So what can we do about this? Well, first of all, Secretary of State needs to take this stuff seriously. If this is happening in our mail system, and stop the nonsense about something with Trump and this total distraction. This is in black and white. There's pictures of this. There's admissions of this on social media. It's there, whether they want it to be or not. So my sense is this. All of the leftist organisms and mechanisms and everything that they've got, they are going to try to throw at this election to alter the results of this election. Now, that is, by legal definition, campaigning. By legal definition, it is campaigning. When you are using resources to alter election results. So let's talk about Twitter, Facebook, now Comcast, Google, if they are, and they've admitted this, if they are they're intentionally altering search results to alter or favor a specific candidate and alter election results as their end goal, that is electioneering. And if they're not reporting it, that is a crime. It's illegal. In a lot of states, it's a massive violation of the sunshine laws. Laura Loomer down in Florida, whom I know, and I've had the privilege to talk to a couple of times. Laura Loomer, she's running for Congress down there. Comcast would even let her send her mail, her emails. I ran into this here recently with a company called SendinBlue, which inexplicably blocked me from sending emails on their email service. Wouldn't give a reason. And everything else was totally legally compliant. Everything was good. But they wouldn't let the email go out. They blocked. Okay, so this is happening across the country, and we've got to continue to expose this. Because what that is electioneering. They're trying to alter the outcomes of elections through this stuff. And there's a reason that this has been illegal for so long. So they can't do this. What's even more egregious is when you have postal workers who are on the taxpayer dime who are doing the same thing. Will they be held accountable? Yes, I think they will. Now, just a quick digression. Justice has been done in another area with the Bundy case. Now, you will remember, yours truly broke a national news story here a couple of years ago on Larry Wooten, who was a special agent, who had written a memo exposing all kinds of impropriety on the side of the prosecution and the Bureau of Land Management, up to and including the withholding intentionally of exculpatory evidence. And now the Ninth, understand how big a deal this is, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed that the case should be dismissed with prejudice. It's interesting that it took this long for that justice to happen. But what that did is vindicate all those who went down there and completely crushes the Rampart report, by the way. Because now it was exposed and has been upheld on appeal that the government was the one, you know, these government agents, these out of control Obama era government agents were the ones that were truly the problem down there in Nevada. Nobody can argue it now. And well, they could try maybe, but going to lose all credibility doing that. I want to talk to and get back to this issue of, you know, if we keep electing socialists, they're going to continue going down the socialist line, and you're going to see a lot of issues. You're going to see a lot of subtle tyranny, like promoting self-censorship, you know, so people feel like they have to self-censor, aka wear a mask, aka not post stuff online, aka silence themselves, which is the worst form of tyranny. It really is the worst form of tyranny. You're going to see, it's interesting that the schools, some schools have decided to reopen, but teachers are threatening that like 50% of them that they won't come back. Where's the justice in that? We're supposed to be protecting our kids. And that's why it was interesting this week when President Trump came out with a tweet that says this, quote, "Got to do something about these missing children grabbed by the perverts. Too many incidents, fast trial, death penalty." That's what it said. And then there's a whole bunch of things about hashtag end child trafficking, hashtag save the children. Again, I think this is part of the accountability because I think that people that are not prepared with the right knowledge and wisdom are going to be absolutely shocked, stunned by what is revealed by some of these, about some of these people at the highest levels. I think they're going to be stunned. Absolutely stunned by it. So I think this is part of it. It's part of the accountability that's coming. Again, on the positive side, I'm going to shift again. The America Patriot, this is coming to us from the America Patriot. There was a conviction of Todd Engel, who is from North Idaho. That conviction has been vacated by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And he was one of the people that at the very start, before this issue of the exculpatory evidence came out, was unfortunately already sentenced, as I understand it. So I want to shift to something a little bit bigger right now. And hopefully we still have a little bit of time left for Glenn Morgan if he can get on. But I want to shift to kind of the Christian central issue here. And General Flynn, who was persecuted. And you got to understand, he was persecuted and wrongly prosecuted. And one now, that happened to him because he went in to expose the deep state and the Marxist sympathizers in the intelligence community and the military in the United States of America. Yes, they're even there. It's hard for a lot of people to imagine, but yes, they're even there. We recently wrote an exclusive op-ed in the Western Journal. And Western Center for Media Journalism is really good. But the Western Journal has this article. And here is his quote from this. "The biblical nature of good versus evil cannot be discounted as we examine what is happening on the streets of America. It's Marxism in the form of Antifa and the Black Lives Matter movement versus our very capable and very underappreciated law enforcement professionals, the vast majority of whom are fighting to provide us safe and secure home streets and communities. When the destiny of the United States is at stake, and it is, the very future of the entire world is threatened. As Christians, shouldn't we act? We recognize that divine providence is the ultimate judge of our destiny. Achieving our destiny as a freedom-loving nation, providence compels us to do our part in our communities. It encourages us in this battle against the forces of evil to face our fears head on. No enemy on earth is stronger than the united forces of God-fearing, freedom-loving people. We can no longer pretend that these dark forces are going to go away by mere prayer alone. Prayers matter, but action is required." Wow, does that not sound familiar to all of you? I love it. What a great letter. What a great letter. And that was just the first part of it. We as Christians sometimes are called to defend our communities against the forces of evil. We can no longer wish away the wolf that is at the door, and the wolf is at the door. That wolf is communism, that wolf is Marxism, and that wolf is socialism. Now, those are three parts of the same plant, as it were. One is a transition to another is a transition to another. But the ultimate goal, the ultimate design is to reduce this country to absolute despotism. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of what Lenin called useful idiots are in the Democrat Party today. And if you are one of those people and say, that cannot be true, listen to the Bernie Sanders campaign worker who said, quote, "the liberals get the wall first," end quote, because that's what Marxists, that is what communists, that is what socialists always do. These useful idiots usher in what's going to be ultimately an attempt to overthrow a country. They usher it in and they think they're going to be in control. This was most notable with the brown shirts in National Socialist Germany. Now, the black shirts were waiting in the wings. The brown shirts, the useful idiots, as Lenin called them at that time, ushered in what eventually became the Nazi tyranny. And immediately when they lost their usefulness, and you can go look this up online, this is history again. It's called The Night of the Long Knives. All the brown shirts were rounded up, the leaders were rounded up by the black shirts, and many of them were either killed or went to prison. And what's so fascinating to me is that liberals in America today somehow think that that's not going to happen to them, but yet you have a Bernie Sanders campaign worker with a clandestinely recorded audio just being very frank, saying, yes, it's exactly what's going to happen to them. Lenin did it. Mao did it. Hitler did it. All socialists. All communists. All Marxists. Now, Hitler would say he's not a communist. Some people say he's not a communist because he did it. Look, it was a compromised position because that's all the control that he could get at the time. And by the way, he got that idea from Benito Mussolini, who was the chief editor of the socialist newspaper Avanti in Italy. Right now, the useful idiots, as Lenin called them, are ushering in an attempt to overthrow the United States of America. And they don't understand that what that Bernie Sanders campaign worker is what they actually said is what they actually think. We all have this kind of intuitive feeling right now as Christians that something is about to happen. People are praying, and that's great. Pray. But what are we going to do about it? Are we going to set up our own self-defense networks like they did in Syria when ISIS came in to try to destroy the Christian churches there? Like the founding fathers did when the English came in to try to seize firearms? Are we going to be prepared to love our neighbor in a tangible way by providing food and comfort and maybe even medical attention if it gets that bad? Yes, Joe.
He's on now.
All right. Are we ready to do that? Because that is where we're headed right now in this country. And I think it's a decision that we all need to make as Christians. Are we going to follow the pattern of the Bible? In other words, defensive protection of the Imago Dei, the image of God. Are we going to be prepared to help our neighbors in a crisis like we've been doing in America for 200 years? We're not. That's where we're at. All right. Glad we finally got you, Glenn Morgan, We the Governed. Great to have you on Patriot Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Matt. Sorry about that. Technical problems, I think, on my end. But glad to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just going to get right to it. What happens to Washington State if we keep, and we, the royal we, I guess, we keep electing Democrats and socialists? Let's be blunt, socialists.
Well, obviously, if you live in an urban center, Seattle's your future. I guess homeless camps everywhere, drug needles in the park, and rapid departure of anybody who's remotely competent or capable of running a business or producing anything. And I think that that's to some extent the example, of Seattle displaying on what you don't want to do in your state. I don't think that's probably a likely trend for everybody else. You know, what's interesting is that not all cities are deciding to go down that road, even if they are run by Democrats. But the socialists are certainly setting the benchmark as low as they can to see how bad they can make it before, what pain threshold people will have before they decide to bail and leave the city. And, unfortunately, it's not just here, but they're doing it all over the country. And I do think in many ways that's going to probably backfire on them more than people realize. And the question is always, what does it take to wake people up? And sometimes it's riots and looting, and sometimes it's something else. But I do think that the what you see happening in Seattle, you see happening in Portland, you see it happening in Chicago more recently, that is not the future that most Americans are going to want to have. And I don't really care what party you're in. That actually isn't what most people want to live in. And I think that as people who are probably more apathetic and don't necessarily affiliate with a party, they're going to be looking at that saying, that is not the scenario that I want to live in. I don't want to experience that. Ronald Reagan, I think, once said that the difference between a Republican and a Democrat was a Republican was just a Democrat who got mugged. And I think there's some truth, I think there's some truth to that. If you don't have any reason to necessarily pay that much attention to politics, eventually it pays attention to you. And when you discover that, things are very different than you thought they were, I think that that is really what starts to wake people up. And, you know, we obviously in our state, you know, our state's not California. I mean, Washington is not with that kind of lopsided representation. And in fact, I would say that, you know, what we see in Olympia is really not a super accurate representation of what the state, of how most people who live in the state want to live or what they would really believe. And so it's tended to benefit people who are on the more left-wing side of the spectrum and getting down there. But, you know, that trend could be changing in some ways. But these things don't happen instantly overnight. I do think it sometimes takes a while. But you are seeing, you know, there's opportunities in the state, even with the recent OSPI election for the Superintendent of Public Instruction. It's interesting to see that the incumbent only got 40% of the vote, Chris Reichdahl, who's been there now for 4 years. And that is a miserable showing for a statewide incumbent. And it really does look like he's going to be pretty vulnerable. And right after he was able, you know, right after the primary election results, the state Supreme Court ruled on a lawsuit that he had filed against Maya Espinoza, who was running against him. And she's obviously a Republican, even though it's a nonpartisan position. She had run as a Republican for a state House seat in the 28th in the past. And she had wanted to add a sentence in the voter's guide that said that Chris Reichdahl was supporting curriculum that taught sexual positions as part of the sex ed curriculum to fourth graders. And he filed a lawsuit against her, prevailed in Thurston County Court, but amazingly, as horrific as our Supreme Court is, they actually overturned that and said she can put it in. And so that she's going to be running on that platform. He's quite upset about it. And yet he's also the same guy who championed every extreme, the most extreme sex ed, sex education indoctrination program in the history of the state of Washington. He championed that, was out there in front talking about it, and it drove people to go get R90 on the ballot this fall, you know, to repeal that bill in the legislature. And now it looks like his opponent, Mia Espinoza, gets to run on that platform very specifically in the voter's guide. So that's one example, I think, of some possible change in a place that a lot of people probably weren't expecting to see that.
No, I completely agree with you. I want to tackle kind of a big issue that's out there. So those of us that have been exposing what these guys have been doing have been just absolutely slandered, maligned, pilloried by the media. And people will be like, you know, it's so interesting. There's this cognitive dissonance. People will be like, well, you know, that's totally bad. What's going on? And I totally agree. We need to, you know, stop this stuff because we don't want that sex ed. I know, you know, they might be a Democrat even saying this. We want to stop this sex ed, but boy, that Glenn Morgan guy, I read about him in the paper. You know, and you're like, what, wait, what's the cognitive dissonance? How do we get through that cognitive dissonance?
You know, I think a lot of it's just speaking truth as much as you can, and also recognizing that everybody comes around to whatever their political viewpoints are in their own way. You know, many people that I work with as activists who were Democrats even just a couple years ago, they made that transition, but it didn't happen overnight. You know, it was one thing that maybe affected them, and they decided, wait a second, something's wrong here. I don't agree with this. This has gotten too extreme or whatever. But they don't suddenly become a, you know, Republican overnight and start voting the same way you and I do necessarily. But they do get there. They just get there at their own pace. And I think the important thing for people to realize is not to attack somebody who disagrees with you, but to, you know, in calmly point out what these differences are and maybe have them ask some questions, have them look at these things themselves. No rational person today is going to walk through downtown Seattle where there's blocks upon blocks upon blocks of boarded up windows, graffitied, broken glass, destroyed areas, and think, wow, what a beautiful, wonderful city. I really wish I lived here. Nobody is going to feel that way.
Nobody, so, especially if they got to send their kids to school through all that, if the schools ever reopen, of course.
Right, yeah. Well, which actually adds, I love this thing recently, where there's a bunch of left-leaning teachers now that are highly concerned that parents are going to be overhearing the curriculum being taught to their kids on Zoom at the Learn at Home program, since everybody's a homeschooler now. And I love that because you suddenly realize that, wait a second, We can't just talk to the kids in the classroom and tell them what we want. We can't tell who's listening in on these Zoom class education that we're doing, especially when we try to indoctrinate them with our new curriculum. And that, I just
Incredible.
Love the fact that that's, that's part of their dilemma right now. So,
folks, I'm going to interrupt you, Glenn, real quick. I'm going to interrupt you. Folks, if you are listening to this right now and you just heard that and you still have your kids in some sort of public school, that should be a gigantic red flag for you right now. I'm just going to say it straight up front. We've got about a minute left, Glenn. If you could, where can people go to find out more about We the Govern and give some closing comments?
Well, they can go to WeTheGovern.com, and they can also go to my YouTube channel, which is also We the Govern, and take a look at some of those videos. I've had some recent commentary on the recent elections, the governor's race, and the Washington State's own Game of Thrones that's going on kind of behind the scenes. And just my final commentary is, the other side wants you to be demoralized and apathetic. They want you to believe there's nothing you can do, and they're wrong. You have to be engaged. The future belongs to those who show up. Staying home is not going to make any change or positive direction. You got to make a difference. You got to make an impact. And, if you can teach your kid at home better than they do at school, and most of you can, I would consider going that route.
I would too. It's just, I don't think it's an option anymore to keep kids in school where they're trying to hide. Now they're concerned about hiding the curriculum. Oh my goodness. That's incredible. Thanks for that. Glenn Morgan, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a little difficult to get on, but I really appreciate having you on here today, and God bless you. Keep up the fight.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on. Bye.
All right. Glenn Morgan, We the Governed. You can visit his website, a whole bunch of exposés on different things that have been going on. That's just kind of a little bit of the tip of the iceberg, what we just talked about. Now the teachers are concerned that the parents might hear what their kids are actually being taught. Get your kids out of public school, put them in private school, do homeschooling. Plenty of options out there like Freedom Project Academy, ACE curriculum, all kinds of different options. Pursue those. Train up your kids in the way that they should go according to the scripture. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.